Daniel chapter 5, verses 1 to 24. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. While Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines, might drink from them. So they brought in the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines, drank from them. As they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood and stone. Suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale and he was so frightened that his knees knocked together and his legs gave way. The king called out for the enchanters, astrologers and diviners to be brought and said to these wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around his neck, and he will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or tell the king what it meant. So King Belshazzar became even more terrified, and his face grew more pale. His nobles were baffled. The queen, hearing the voices of the king and his nobles, came into the banquet hall. "O king, live forever," she said. "Don't be alarmed. Don't look so pale. There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. In the time of your father, he was found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods. King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, I say, appointed him chief of the magicians, enchanters, astrologers and diviners. This man is Daniel, whom the king called Belshazzar, was found to have a keen mind and knowledge and understanding, and also the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel and he will tell you what the writing means." So Daniel was brought before the king, and the king said to him, "Are you Daniel, one of the exiles my father, the king, brought from Judah? I have heard that the spirit of the gods is in you and that you have insight, intelligence and outstanding wisdom. The wise men and enchanters were brought before me to read this writing and tell me what it means, but they could not explain it. Now I have heard that you are able to give interpretations and to solve difficult problems. If you can read this writing and tell me what it means, you will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around your neck, and you will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered the king, "You may keep your gifts for yourself and give your rewards to someone else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means. O king, the most high God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor. Because of the high position he gave him, all the peoples and nations and men of every language dreaded and feared him. Those the king wanted to put to death, he put to death. Those he wanted to spare, he spared. Those he wanted to promote, he promoted. And those he wanted to humble, he humbled. But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was taken away from people and given the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and sets over them anything he wishes. But you, his son, O Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You had the goblets that his temple brought to you, and you and your nobles, your wives and your concubines, drank wine from them. You praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron and wood and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. But you did not honour the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Therefore, he sent the hand that wrote the inscription.
Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father God, as we hear from your word this morning, as we reflect on its meaning, we pray that your Spirit would guide us. Lord, we pray that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see the wonderful news of salvation through Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would work in and through us this morning, that we might make much of Jesus, that we might give you thanks for the hope that we have through you. In Jesus' name, amen. A healthy fear is a very good thing to have. I have always really enjoyed riding motorcycles, as long as they're fast. When I first got my motorcycle license, the bike I used to get my license with, well, it was anything but fast. It was actually an old farm bike that had become too unreliable to be used on the farm anymore. And so I went through it and rebuilt it and then used it to get my license. It did the job. And it was okay for a while, but it wasn't too long before I wanted more power. And so this little 125cc X farm bike found itself with a turbocharger. I had a lot of fun with that. It went quite well. It was the fastest slow motorbike in town. I really enjoyed the power of it, but after a while, I found myself wanting more. So I went out and purchased my first four-cylinder sports bike, road bike. There was a huge jump up in power and handled so much better. The brakes were better. It was so much faster. And for a while, I thought I had all the power I could ever hope to use. In fact, I was often wondered why I would even need more power than that. But as I slowly became more and more comfortable with it, I started to want more. And so in time, that too ended up with a turbocharger. Eventually, even that wasn't enough power. And so it was sold and a much faster bike bought in its place. I don't ride motorbikes as much as I used to anymore. But back then, I used to ride just about every single weekend. And we'd do hundreds of kilometres each weekend. I'd be on my bike so much that I was incredibly familiar with how it handled and steered and braked. I was very, very comfortable with my bike. Riding it was like second nature. I didn't have to think about anything I did. Over time, I became so comfortable that I began to take the risks involved with riding motorcycles for granted. I lost that healthy sense of fear that anyone who rides motorbikes should have. I became so confident in my own abilities as a rider and in my bike that I began to believe that I could avoid just about any danger. In those days, I used to ride with a group of about five guys who all had very, very fast bikes. And as time went on, we slowly became more and more comfortable with our bikes and began to take greater and greater risks. Until eventually, only two of us avoided some very serious accidents. Thankfully, no one was killed. But it was all because we'd lost our sense of fear. A healthy sense of fear is a very, very good thing to have. If you're using a chainsaw or a firearm or any kind of dangerous machinery on the farm or a motorbike, and if you don't have any fear of what could happen, then you're a liability to yourself and anyone else around you. A healthy fear is a very good thing to have. A healthy fear is good to have because it reminds us of our own abilities and resources. It stops us from trusting in those things. It reminds us that we are not in control. In the verses we're looking at this morning, King Belshazzar's pride and arrogance had caused him to become blind to the fear that would have saved him from God's judgment. Instead of fearing the one who is in control of all things, the God of heaven and earth, Belshazzar's pride led him to revel in his own temporary and very fragile grip on the crown. And in a moment, it was all taken away. Belshazzar learnt the hard way that everything God does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Now, as this morning's passage begins, there's a new king in Babylon, King Belshazzar. By this time, it seems Nebuchadnezzar has passed away. And this new king, King Belshazzar, is throwing a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and all his wives and concubines. And he's throwing this incredible banquet to celebrate his success and power. And while all these celebrations were going on, Belshazzar, who was puffed up by his own pride, had allowed too much wine to affect his decision-making. And so he gave orders to have the goblets that had been taken from the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem when Nebuchadnezzar had brought Judah into exile. He commanded that they be brought to the banquet so that everyone could drink from them. Now, Belshazzar was almost certainly intoxicated, but he knew what he was doing. By using these items that had been consecrated or declared holy to the Lord in this way, Belshazzar was symbolically saying that the gods of Babylon had defeated the God of Israel. He was boasting about his power as king of Babylon, and he was defying the God of Israel to do anything about it. However, I don't imagine that he expected the Lord to respond, and certainly not in the way he did. All of a sudden, the strangest thing happened. It was just like a scene out of a Scooby-Doo cartoon. Suddenly, a human hand appeared and wrote something on the wall of the palace. And as this hand wrote this message on the wall, Belshazzar, the most powerful king in Babylon, the most powerful king in the known world for that matter, started to react just like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. His face went pale, his knees began to knock, and his teeth were probably chattering with all of the adrenaline running through his body. This is almost a comical image of this king. He was utterly terrified at the sight of this levitating hand. And so just like his predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar, had done when searching for an answer to his dreams, Belshazzar summoned the enchanters, astrologers, diviners, and all the wise men of Babylon so that they could interpret the writing on this wall. And any of them whichever one could give them the answer he was after would be made the third highest ruler in his kingdom. But no matter how great the motivation was to give the answer to this writing, none of them were able to interpret the message. Well, because of this, Belshazzar was even more terrified. But at this point, The queen heard about all that was going on. He heard how terrified Belshazzar was. And so she went to him and told him about Daniel. Now, the queen mentioned here doesn't seem to have been one of Belshazzar's wives, because all of Belshazzar's wives and concubines were at this banquet. In fact, most scholars believe that the queen is the late Nebuchadnezzar's wife, and also most likely Belshazzar's grandmother. The queen told Belshazzar how Daniel had interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream when none of the wise men in Babylon could. She said, "There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. In the time of your father, he was found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods." When the queen refers to Nebuchadnezzar here as your father, she isn't literally meaning your father, of course. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't Belshazzar's dad. The historical records show that Belshazzar's dad was actually an exiled Babylonian king named Nabonidus. But what the queen is saying here is that Belshazzar is a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is one of his forefathers, and Belshazzar is not literally his son. So Daniel was brought before the king. However, even after hearing about Daniel's reputation from the queen, Belshazzar doesn't seem to have had a lot of trust in Daniel. Belshazzar says in verse 13, "Are you, Daniel, one of the exiles my father, the king, brought from Judah?" Seems to be making sure that Daniel knows his place, that Daniel knows that he is just one of Belshazzar's servants. Then in verse 16, the king says, "If you can read this writing and tell me what it means, you'll be clothed in purple and have a golden chain placed around your neck, and you'll be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom." It's almost as if Belshazzar's saying, all of the wise men of Babylon were unable to interpret the meaning of this writing, but I suppose I'll give you a shot. If you can read this, if by some means you can read this, I'll give you a go. And if you can work it out, then you'll be rewarded handsomely. But Daniel declined this offer of wealth. We read later on that he received the rewards, but Daniel was not going to be bought. He told the king, "Give your reward to someone else." He knew that his role was simply to speak the words that God had given him to say. And so Daniel began to rebuke the king. He reminded Belshazzar that he already knew about all that God had done in humbling Nebuchadnezzar, and how God had humbled him until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over all the kingdoms of the earth. Daniel said to the king, "But you, Belshazzar, his son, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven." Belshazzar and his guests had used the goblets that were taken from the temple of the Lord to worship false gods, the gods of silver, bronze, gold, and iron. And they had done this instead of honoring the God who holds in his hands their life and all their ways. Therefore, he sent the hand that wrote the inscription. This is the inscription that was written: "Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parsons." Mene, God has numbered the days of your reign and will be brought to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. What Belshazzar didn't know was the whole time he and his guests were enjoying this banquet, living it up, the Medes and the Persians were waging a sneak attack on the nation of Babylon, which is actually recorded in the chronicles of Nabonidus, the Babylonian history. That very night, Belshazzar was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom of Babylon. As chapter 4 of Daniel ended, Nebuchadnezzar, who had been humbled by God, said these words, "All God's ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble." And these words are the key to understanding everything that's going on in chapter 5. As God judges the pride and arrogance of Belshazzar, because he had set himself up against the Lord of heaven. Belshazzar had no fear of the Mede and Persian army as they approached the kingdom of Babylon, and he had no fear of God Most High. His pride and arrogance had led him to believe that he was invincible. After all, he was the mighty king of Babylon. He was the one in control of the known world. But as he set himself up against the Lord of heaven, God handed both him and Babylon over to the Medes. And everything that Belshazzar had found his confidence in was taken away. A healthy fear is a very good thing to have, because a healthy fear reminds us of our own limitations. It stops us from trusting in our own abilities and resources and reminds us that we are not in control. This morning's passage doesn't tell us whether there are other times where God had intervened to humble Belshazzar like he had done for Nebuchadnezzar. But as Daniel testifies, Belshazzar knew how God had humbled Nebuchadnezzar through 7 years of insanity. And he knew of Nebuchadnezzar's testimony once he'd been restored to the throne. Whatever Belshazzar had seen or heard of the power and authority of God, he remained a man without fear. God could have brought Belshazzar's heart to a place of repentance, as he had done with Nebuchadnezzar. But instead, God chose to judge Belshazzar by handing him over to the Medes. And as Nebuchadnezzar testifies, all God's ways are right and just. And as God himself testifies about himself in Exodus chapter 3, verse 19, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." God is God, and we are his creatures. He is not our creation. If we worship the God of Scripture, then we are not worshiping a God created in our own image. Because the God who has revealed himself through his word is not like any God that any man or woman would ever want to create. He is the sovereign God of heaven and earth. God could have humbled Belshazzar, but in his wisdom, which is far beyond ours, that was not his will. As the Apostle Paul says in Romans 9, "One of you will say to me, 'Then why does God still blame us? For who resists his will?' But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to who formed it, 'Why did you make me like this?' Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use?" A healthy fear is a very good thing to have, because a healthy fear of God reminds us that we are not God, but instead his creatures. And therefore, He has the right to show mercy to whom he will show mercy, and the right to judge those whom he chooses to judge. Belshazzar had become puffed up with pride because of his power and authority, all of which God had placed in his hands. And because he didn't have a healthy fear of the Lord, he set himself up against the God of heaven and earth and was brought to nothing. This morning's passage is a reminder that God is God and we are his creatures. Too often, people worship gods that are of their own making, gods they have created in their own image. We hear people say things like, "I could never believe in a God who would allow suffering like that, whatever it is. I can never believe in a God who would send people to hell or judge people so severely. I could never believe in a God who would ask us to count the cost of following him." But if we limit our understanding of who God is to what we feel comfortable with, then we are no longer worshipping the God who has revealed himself through his word. As the Medes silently approached Babylon, Belshazzar was blissfully unaware of the imminent danger that was closing in around him. It was his pride and arrogance that had kept him from seeing the danger that was right there in front of his eyes. It was his pride and arrogance that kept him from a healthy sense of fear. Pride blinds us from seeing where we are going off the tracks and into the path of sin. It makes us think that we are better, more holy, more together than we actually are. And it keeps us from seeing our desperate need of God's ongoing mercy. This morning we are being encouraged to put aside our pride and humble ourselves before the Lord, acknowledging, like Nebuchadnezzar, that the Most High God is sovereign and that we are not. As Ephesians 2 reminds us, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from you, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It is because of God's love for us, rather than anything we have done or anything about us, that those with faith in Christ Jesus have been saved. And this salvation was achieved through the work of God, through Christ's life, death, and resurrection for us. And so may we say, like the Apostle Paul, that we will never boast in anything except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom salvation was made possible for all who believe. May we have a healthy fear in the one who holds our life and breath in his hands, the one who is able to give us eyes to see and ears to hear. For it is only by the gift of grace that anyone is ever able to be saved. Let's give the Lord thanks. Father God, we acknowledge, we confess that we have all sinned and fallen short of your glory, that there is nothing special about us apart from the work of your Holy Spirit in and through us, humbling us and bringing us to you. We pray this morning, Lord, that you would reveal the areas in our lives where we have become blind because of pride. Lord, we pray that you would inspire fear in our hearts, not that we would be afraid of you, but that we would be in awe of you, that we would understand that you are God and we are not, and that we might give you the glory that you deserve. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.